Well, it's with great privilege and joy that I turn the pulpit over today to my father-in-law, Pastor Jim Kelly. And I sincerely mean it when I say that he is one of my favorite preachers. I remembered when I started dating Debbie and found out her dad was a pastor, and we went to visit them. Well, the first times we were there, we just showed up in the middle of the night, and they had a German Shepherd dog called Lady. And I remember going into the house real quietly, and Debbie kept saying, "Lady, it's me, Debbie." And the next day, I got to hear my father-in-law preach. And I thought to myself at the time, if I could just learn to preach half as well as he does, I'd be satisfied. And so it's a great joy. Pastor Kelly, turn the pulpit over to you today.
Open your Bibles and turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. I'm going to entitle this message, "Like a Bird, But Which One?" Like a bird, but which one? Bev and I, where we're at, have about 6 eagles that live around us. And it's always so beautiful when we're out driving and you see 2 eagles, a pair, sitting in a tree. I usually don't stop if I see a crow or anything like that, but 2 eagles is something to behold. Look at Proverbs chapter 30, and I want to pick up at verse 18. This is Agur the prophet is saying, "There be 3 things which are too wonderful for me, yea, 4 which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid." Heavenly Father, I ask that you would just anoint each one of us, anoint my heart, anoint the ears and the hearts of the hearers. Father, let my words pass through the Holy Spirit. O Lord, bring healing, bring life, bring health to this people. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Agur the prophet spoke these words, and he said there are 4 things he doesn't understand. He said, number one, I don't understand the way of a man with a maid. Well, where we're at today, we can say we understand that. That's the picture of the mystery of Christ in the church. Then he said, I don't understand the way of a ship in the midst of the sea. The way of the ship in the midst of the sea is the mystery of the church in the midst of the world. Then he said, I don't understand the way of a serpent upon a rock. Well, we know that's the running feud between Satan the serpent and Christ the rock. Then lastly, he said, I don't understand the way of an eagle in the air. Well, the way of an eagle in the air is the mystery of the unexplainable potential possibility of Christian activity, of a Christian who can fly higher than any other creature and never wiggle a wing. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. We'll pick up on this. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heaven, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, but the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah says to us that an eagle mounts up. I want you to understand, an eagle does not flap up. If you've ever watched eagles, if you've ever studied eagles, what they'll do is they will, in the morning, preen all of their feathers. They get every feather perfect, every feather in place, and then with a cry that is indescribable, they literally leap up into the air, fold their wings out, and begin to soar. They look for high places. They look for high places to build their nests. They want to be up there where they can begin to soar right away. An eagle has a built-in understanding of the air currents. John chapter 3 and verse 8 says, The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but you cannot tell from whither it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, a Christian is a person who can fly without trying. But he has to understand the secret of the wind. See, For a long time, I understood the secret of the duck. How many of you know what the secret of the duck is? Smooth on the top and paddling like crazy underneath. That's the way a lot of us are, but God wants us to be like eagles. He wants us to mount up, to literally mount up. And so in order to mount up, we have to know the secret of the winds. You have to learn the winds of the Spirit. Let me say this, though. We're running shy of eagles. We're running over with a lot of parrots. We have a friend of ours that was in our last church that somebody gave them, I think they were called a macaw parrot. It was about this tall, bright red, beautiful bird. We had gone over to his house, and Tom likes the Green Bay Packers, and Packers weren't doing too good for a few games. It's been a while back. And Tom, as he would watch the football, as the Packers would make a mistake, he'd say, "Oh no, guys!" And then when Tom would laugh, he'd always go, "Yuck." They had invited us over. We were sitting there eating. I'm sitting with my back to the living room, and all of a sudden I heard, "Oh no, guys!" I thought, "What is that?" And I turned around and look, and the parrot had his head tucked under his wing, going to sleep, and he was just imitating Tom. And I was thinking, "What is going on?" Then a little bit later, they invited us over. So when we went over, we were sitting in the living room, and it was down kind of a hallway. They had a young dog that was sitting in front of me. They gave us some food or some dessert. And so I'd been feeding this dog a little bit of the dessert. And all of a sudden, we would hear the dog's name called. And I thought, gee, Tom and Ellen are here. Grandpa, I think, is in bed. So the dog would get up and tear out into the kitchen. Then he'd come back and he'd lay down again, and I'd give him a little more food, and all of a sudden he'd be called again. He'd get up and tear into the kitchen. Third time, the dog ran out and looked into the doorway, peeked his head around the corner, and there was nobody there, so he turned around and laid down. So we were sitting there, and all of a sudden the phone started ringing. Tom and Ellen just kept talking to us, and I thought, you know, what's going on? So I said, "Tom, the telephone is ringing." He says, "No, that's just the parrot. That's just the parrot. The thing can imitate perfectly these different sounds. Can call the dog will run, you know, imitates when the Packers are losing or when they're winning." A parrot person, though, is somebody who's, and I'm going to relate this now, try to relate this to church. A parrot person is someone who is content to sit safely in the same old pew, perch. They can repeat words in rapid-fire cadence. "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Glory to God, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen." You've heard it. People can say the words, but there's something that's lacking on the inside. All they're doing is parroting words that they've heard. We're fast becoming overpopulated with bright-colored birds with soft bellies. You know, big beaks, little heads. What would balance things out a whole lot more is if we'd get a whole bunch of wild-eyed creatures. Keen-eyed, able to soar up and up, exploring the unlimited ranges of the kingdom of God, and then after a brief time come back and give a report of what God is doing. Folks, for 14 months, Bev and I have been looking for a church. There isn't much out there. There is not much out there. What's sad is that people in giving testimonies are not giving testimonies of something that's current Oh, I remember when God moved back in 82. Folks, I'm living in 2003. I don't want the God that moved in 02 or 82 or whenever it was. I want something fresh and new today. And so in order to have that happen, we have to become like eagles. We have to be able to get up and soar and see what God wants to do. God is looking to move on you and I as never before. Folks, if we believe that we're in the end times, if we believe that the Lord is soon to return, we better start acting like it. He's coming soon. You know, parrot people are a lot different than eagle thinkers. Parrot people like to stay in the same old cage, pick over the same old pile of dried seeds, listen to the same old words over and over until they can say them with ease, and they like company. A lot of attention. You know, a little scratch here, a little snuggle there. They'll stay on that same old perch for years and years and years. But you know, I don't ever remember seeing a parrot fly. I don't remember seeing a parrot fly. Parrot people like the predictable, the secure, the strokes of their own little mutual aid society. Now, if you're a parrot person, that's good. Stay put. But if you like being an eagle at heart, what are you doing sitting on that same old perch? Do you have any idea of how much eagles are needed today to get out and soar? To soar on the winds of the Spirit. To move in the realms of God's glory. Even though no one else has ever told you, I love you enough, and I'm going to tell you this. Eagles look pretty silly sitting on a perch picking at a pan full of seeds. Have you ever heard anybody ever say, eagle want a cracker? No. Then the second group of people are pigeon people. Pigeon people have more of a pigeon nature than they do an eagle nature. Pigeon people like to stand on the high spots, little groups on a roof. What they'll do is they'll preen their feathers and coo ever so gently. Coo, coo, coo. You've seen them, right? We were on our way over here yesterday, and we saw a whole bunch of pigeons. And they were up on the roof of a barn. And they were kind of sidestepping. Coo, coo, coo. And then they go the other way. Coo, coo, coo. Somebody came out and slammed the barn door. It was like kind of, bam, repent! And they took off. And it looked like they were really going someplace. We watched for just a couple of minutes, and they circled around and came right back and went, coo, coo. Great flurry of wings, but they didn't go anyplace. They did not go anyplace. Now, stirred a great motion, but they made no progress. Beautiful birds, but they don't go anywhere. The only thing that a pigeon and an eagle have in common is that they're both birds. That's all. It would be ludicrous to see a whole bunch of eagles on a rooftop going, coo, coo, coo. Now, what do the pigeon people do? Well, they'll do things like, I'm so important. Oh, I am so important. I've got a good job at church. Oh, look at me. Look at me. Coo, coo, coo. Next one, sparrows. Did you ever notice that sparrows are always in the dirt, just kind of fussing? Just kind of fussing around in the dirt. Sparrows have a hard time really getting off the ground, much less getting up to 10,000 feet. Watching some people in some of the churches we've been at is like, during the worship service, like watching a sparrow. They fuss. They fuss about who's here, who's not here. They fuss about who's what, wearing what, who's going to sing what. They're fussing about everything. All they do is fuss. And then they go home and they have a blue Monday. Is it any reason because they haven't been able to get off the ground on Sunday that they can't soar on Sunday? So what happens is they have a blue Monday. Mondays are bad. They can't get off the ground. They're fussing in the dirt. They're fussing in the activity all around them rather than picking out a thermal updraft and relaxing in a state of enjoyment. Even when they don't seem to get off the ground during the worship service, it doesn't seem to dampen their enthusiasm. They just get a little more worked up the next time. Do you know that that's why they call it Blue Monday? If you can't soar in the Spirit on Sunday, you'll have a Blue Monday. Let me tell you, I've had 14 months of Blue Mondays. If you can't soar on Sunday, folks, you will have a Blue Monday. No matter how hard a sparrow tries, like I said, they will never get to 10,000 feet. A sparrow is a low-flying bird. They're more interested in the insects on the ground around them than the updrafts of heaven. Let me tell you some things about eagles that maybe you never knew before. An eagle is able to see four times better than us. What you and I can see at 600 yards, an eagle can see at a mile and a half. Tremendous eyesight. Tremendous eyesight. That's why you always see them soaring on the wind currents. They're looking for something. An eagle, when it sees what it wants, will plunge down at over 100 miles an hour. Devastating accuracy. Science has studied the wing of an eagle, and they have found that the eagle can stand stress like no other bird. As a matter of fact, what they've done is they have taken the bone structure of the eagle's wings and they have designed airplane wings because it's able to withstand the stress. An eagle mates for life. No divorce. No running out. Union is forever. An eagle will, in the morning, begin to preen its feathers. They'll just take time putting every feather in place. Because eagles understand the air currents, and suddenly they know that this is the one. With a scream that's indescribable, if you've ever heard it, a scream that's actually indescribable, those mighty claws give one lift and up it goes. Takes the air current, mounts up and up, never flapping a wing, just riding the air currents. Romans chapter 8 tells us, those that walk in the Spirit shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, I want to tell you something. Don't ever try to catch an air current with one wing. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now you're going to get involved in the sermon. I told Lowell yesterday I was going to point him out, but I won't point Lowell out. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I want to have you look at verse 8. Paul is telling Timothy, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Now how many of you today can say, boy, Pastor, I don't have any wrath in my heart. Raise one hand. It says lifting up holy hands. I'm not angry in my heart. Go ahead. Come on. How many of you can say, I don't have any anger? Put your hand up. Keep it up. How many of you can say, I have no doubt in my heart? Jesus is Lord of my life. Okay. It says, I would that men pray everywhere lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubt. Now, some of you are like this. Well, don't try to catch an air current on one wing. I'm allergic to bees. And we have a church on our property, and all summer long we've had a hornet's nest. Speaking of hornet's nests, did you hear about the one in Green Bay? A woman got stung 6 times mowing the lawn. when they opened up the shed door, the hive, wasp nest hive, a paper hive, was 5 feet long, 3 feet wide, and 2 foot thick. Now, folks, I couldn't get anywhere near that. I'd have to have about 6 EpiPens and just keep smacking myself in the leg with EpiPens. I do carry an EpiPen with me. It's in the car. No hornets here today. But I've been working on these, trying to get rid of these bees that have burrowed into the side of the church. And we've sprayed them, and Bev gets really upset, and she'll say, "Go stand in the house, I'll spray them." I'll say, "No, that's okay, I'll get them. Wait until dark, then I'll get them." Well, we finally, I think, killed them all, but the other morning I was going out to the to the shop in the back of the church building, and there was a bee that was laying on the step. And so I had my trusty EpiPen with me. And so as I watched him, he would go, "Bzzz! Bzzz!" And he'd just go in a circle. You know, he only had one wing. And all he could do was buzz in a circle. Do you know that some of us are like that when it comes to worship? We just kind of buzz in a circle. There's a song that says, "Rise and soar into the sunlight rays, using both your wings of prayer and praise. Mount like eagles higher in the sky, and you'll find things look so different when you fly. Many baffled birds in vain will wave one wing. Drooping prayers they pray, but rarely shout and sing. Round and round these earthbound birds go in amaze, for they fail to lift the other wing in praise. Rise and soar into the sunlight rays, using both your wings of prayer and praise. Mount like eagles higher in the sky, and you'll find things look so different when you fly. Exercise your wings, O Christians, pray and praise. We shall have the best revival these last days. Glide aloft and spread the message glad and strong. See 10,000 angels swell and swarm and swell with song." Sing it with me. "Rise and soar into the sunlight rays, using both your wings of prayer and praise. Mount like eagles higher in the sky, and you'll find things look so different when you fly." You know, the eagle isn't content to just fly so high. The eagle has to go higher than any other bird. He outflies every other bird. In fact, he flies so high that you cannot see an eagle with the naked eye. On the way up, he goes past the telephone wires, the gossip line. A lot of crows are sitting there saying, "Caw! Caw! Caw! Did you see George today? Caw! Did you hear this about Pastor? Caw! How about the youth group? They say, "Well, why don't you stop here and talk with us a while?" And he says, "No, I'm not interested in that. I'm going higher than where you are. I'm not interested in gossip. I'm interested in getting into God's glory." See, when an eagle gets up high, they have two sets of eyelids that God has designed for them. They have an earthly set, and then they have a heavenly set. When an eagle gets up to about above 8,000 feet, the earthly eyelids roll back, and the heavenly eyelids drop down, and they can look directly into the sun. Isn't that awesome? Folks, when we get that high, we can look directly into the S-O-N. We need to do that. We need to look at the sun. You and I aren't built for the smut and the dirt of pollution. We're not built to be dirty crows on telephone lines. Do you know that you were designed for pure worship of God? God designed you for pure worship. We're built for rare heights. We're built to rise where God is in all of His purity. We're built to go into the Holy of Holies. Well, Pastor, wait a minute. How high can you fly? Well, I read the Word of God, and I read about one man that got so high that God said, I'll tell you what, Enoch, it's closer to come up here than it is to go home. Come on up. See, that's what I'm after. I am after getting so close to God that God says, it's too far to go back home. Come on up. That I can just soar into God's presence. I can just soar on the wings of the Spirit. Feel the air currents, to understand the air currents, the winds of the Spirit. What is God saying? What is God doing? The eagle is a very clean bird when it's in the wild, when he's free. But when you put him into captivity, an eagle is the dirtiest bird in the world. Any Christian who is in captivity and not flowing with the Spirit is a dirty bird. Some years ago, we moved into a house. I'm almost done. We moved into a house. We're told that the woman next door was a Christian. After we moved in, she came over and she said, Pastor, I really don't appreciate having you next door. Oh, why? Then I found out she was only a Christian on Sunday morning while she was at church. During the week, she was not a Christian. And we found it out 2 hours after she told me. What had happened is that she was a Christian, quote unquote, in name, but she was not flowing in the Spirit. She was a dirty bird. She wasn't able to soar. She wanted to live a life that was different than what it was in God's Word, than what it is in church. See, some people turn it on and off. The first church that I took, when they interviewed me, they sat me down, the deacon board sat me down, and they said, they did everything that they could do, and they said, you know, what does your wife do? Does she play piano? And I said, no, she prays for me. And they said, well, she teaches, doesn't she? And I said, no, she prays for me. I need a lot of prayer. She prays for me. Well, what does she really do? I said, she prays for me. So, they interviewed me and they said, well, you know, we're going to call you now to be our pastor, but we want you to know, because I work for the Bell System. They said, when you come as our pastor, you have to live differently than you did before. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I can't do that. I'm going to live the same way as I did when I worked for the Bell System. See, we had a van that God had provided for us, and our pastor at the time had said, Jim, what you want to give the glory to God for that van? And I said, yeah, I'd love to. He says, you bring it over, and I'll put something on the side, your favorite scripture verse or something. And I said, okay. So he never called, so I went out and washed the car and waxed it, and it had a two-tone van, and it had a kind of a white stripe down the side. And so he said, he called me up and he says, bring it over. He says, I want to help you be a witness. And I said, okay. So we took it over. The first thing he did was take turpentine and wash all the wax off. And then he said, what's your favorite scripture verse? And I said, Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And so he said, okay. So he started printing a block letter. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. We went all over the United States with this van. Debbie, if you talk to her later, she'll remember. And people would pull up alongside of us and they'd, look, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. they wouldn't finish it. So when I was at the Bell System, I had this parked, and the foreman's parking spot was right outside the door where all the guys had to go past it. So they knew that I was a new guy on the block. So as they're coming in, I'm standing inside watching them, and everybody's reading the side of this van. So I sat down and I said, listen, guys, I want you to know something. When I was hired by the Bell System, I looked for the job. They didn't come to me and ask me for a job. So I'm going to treat you like men. If you want to be treated like men, I'll treat you like men. But please, 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 don't do anything that you shouldn't do. Well, the very first meeting that I had, they turned in a grievance against me because I always had a Bible on my desk. And they turned in a grievance because they didn't like the color of my tie. Because I had a Bible and because of the color of my tie. Well, we won that. And it went on from there. I took the worst crew in the state of Wisconsin, and in less than a year, it became the number one crew. And I found out that the guys that irritated me the most, their wives were Christians praying that a Christian would come to begin to witness to them. And so what would happen is these guys would fight me tooth and nail, and I was wondering, what is wrong? You know, what did I do to them? Well, they were fighting their wife. Their wife was praying, saying, Lord, bring somebody there. So they'd go home and say, I have this Christian boss. And the wives would be, yeah, hallelujah. You know, folks, if you allow yourself to go back into forms of bondage, religious bondage, you're going to be a dirty bird. You'll be a dirty bird. Especially if it isn't according to the Word of God. Paul said in Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. There is nothing more cruel in the world after 14 months of looking at churches. There is nothing more cruel in the world than religion without freedom. In every church that we visited, they can give you a whole list of do's and don'ts. You can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. What does your church believe? Well, we can't do this, we can't do this. What can you do? I don't know. Never thought of it. God yearns today for you to function with the nature of an eagle. He wants us to learn how to ascend into His presence. The holy atmosphere of heaven in a relaxed and effortless manner. In describing the clothing worn by the priests who ministered in the holy courts, God says in Ezekiel 44:18, they shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. Priests couldn't sweat. See, worship is a no-sweat operation. Folks, if you have to... Hallelujah! That is not a no-sweat operation. That's trying to get into the Spirit. God wants us to enter into His presence with no problems. Just to stretch out our wings. Folks, you don't know how good that felt today for the first time in 14 months to be able to worship God. Keep what you have. Bless your pastors. Bless Pastor Rick. Do you want to know something? Do you want to scare your pastor to death? I'll tell you how. You can scare Pastor Rick to death. Just do what he tells you to do. Because now he has to get on his face and pray. See, most of the time, pastors can say something and goes, ear, in one ear, out the other. Young people, you want to scare Pastor Craig? Do what he tells you to do. It'll scare him half to death because now he has to start praying, really praying, that what he has said is right. See, anybody can stand up and talk to you. But if you're listening and starting to obey, that's when you start soaring on the winds of the Spirit. That's when you begin to soar like an eagle. That's what God wants for you young people. Do you know something? I'm the church of yesterday. You're the church today. You're the church of today. What you have to do is you have to learn how to take what you have here. Don't change it. Keep what you have and just build upon it. Because that's what God wants. You have a pastor that's directing your church. Keep that. Don't lose it. There's too many churches that are going with secular humanism. And you can't believe the stuff that's going on out there, folks. And I've been in Spirit-filled churches a lot. Folks, all they're doing is waving one wing. They're not soaring. God wants us to soar. Heavenly Father, I thank You that I was able to come and preach Your Word today, able to minister. Father, I ask that now You would just bless this people. Lord, bless them. Help them. Help them to understand the winds of the Spirit. Lord, help them to soar. Soar on Sunday and then get up on Monday morning and soar through the week And Lord, that you would speak to their hearts, that Lord, they would receive something fresh and new every day in their hearts. Lord, this is what you desire. You desire them to mount up with wings as eagles, to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. Lord Jesus, help that to happen to each person here. Father, I thank you that your Spirit is here. The winds of the Spirit have been blowing here today. Lord, we felt it. We have felt it. And Lord, it was so good. Now help us to soar through the rest of this week. Lord, that as we look down, our problems become so small in light of your presence, in light of your glory, in light of your grace. So Father, bless this people. Bless Pastor Rick. Bless Pastor Craig. Minister to them. Minister to the board. Lord, touch them and bless them as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Pastor Rick.
Thank you, Pastor Kelly. We have meal here today, so you don't need to run off. We invite you to stay and fellowship with us. I'd like us, though, before we go downstairs, to stand, sing the chorus, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." And listen to me, please. If you're here today and you're in bondage to something, I would like you to come forward today, kneel before the cross, kneel at the altar, and trust the Spirit of the Lord to give you freedom today, because He wants to do that. If you're here today and you couldn't raise both hands without wrath and without doubting, I want you to come to the altar today, get free from that anger, get free from that doubt, whatever it might be. Or maybe you're here and you couldn't use the other analogy of prayer and praise. Maybe in your life you've been doing a lot of praying, but you haven't been able to praise the Lord. You just haven't felt the freedom to praise Him. Come and praise Him today. You know, it's an act of the will. You don't feel like praising, you just start praising. Pretty soon you'll feel like it. Or maybe it's the other way around. You've been praising all the time, but you have not really spent much time in prayer, intercession, supplication. Why don't you come today and exercise that wing? Just don't go round and round. Before you leave here today, make sure that you're capable of soaring. And then, if you don't want to come, you want to go downstairs and start eating, you can do that too. All right? It's up to you. I'll leave it up to you today. But why don't you stay for the chorus, and then you can go down. Lord, we thank you for this message today. May we apply it to our lives. And may one person not leave here today until they are able to soar in your Spirit. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to come, come as we sing. They that wait upon the Lord.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk.
Time.
They that wait upon the Lord shall.